احمده واستعينه واستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام، ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها، فان كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness for me and for you and for all the Muslims. I believe in him and I trust him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Tonight, inshallah, is going to be our third class concerning Kitab, the book of Bulugh al-Maram. And inshallah, we're going to have a type of long introduction, not for the class itself, but in general. I've been advised by some brothers and some sisters to take it easy tonight and not to show up for the class due to my illness, but I'm trying to hear inshallah to prove a point to myself as well as my brothers and sisters. And hopefully inshallah that this will be a good example that we learn from each other. First of all, I had indicated the importance of seeking knowledge, and what is more important than this is to be continuous in whatever that we're doing, that this attitude of starting and stopping is not the proper way, because life is full with attraction and responsibility and things which always comes in your way. But in actuality, if you think and reflect in your life, you found regardless whatever the obstacles comes in your way, the certain things that we still insist to do it in our life. But this will be how much valuable such a thing and how much important such a thing. You can be coughing, you can be sick, you can be everything. But because you know that such a trip or such interview or such a meeting, whatever, is so important and is going to have a lot of impact in your life, so you try to put this illness and these problems and whatever that you're going through and say, I have to free myself this hour, and it's only 1 hour, and I have to go for this interview. It's so important in my life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that أحب الأعمال إلى الله تبارك وتعالى أدومها وإن قل, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the most desirable deed or the most dearer deed to Allah, that things which you do it continuously, even if it's little. And this is what we need to implement of our life, this notion or this proper attitude that we have to hold to certain things in our life and we do it regardless. Especially when something pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless whatever it is, you're in the air, you're in the ground, you sick, you're alive, you're about to pass away, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a good deed, from salat, charity, fasting. But what's more dearer to Allah, things which you always doing it, even if it's little, okay? Some people, they may go and pray tahajjud for a whole week, every night getting up and making salah at night. Alhamdulillah, this is something good, acceptable by Allah. But what's more dearer to Allah than this? A person who may get up once a week and make tahajjud, but he keeps this for as long as he can. Maybe he go for a whole month, maybe go for a whole year, 2 years. Maybe he keep it as a sunnah in his life, that every Monday I'm going to try, since you understand, or Sunday, since I'm, this is my day off, I'm going to be try to make extra prayer, extra tahajjud. So every Saturday or every Sunday became his habit, that he take advantage of his day off and he try to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this deed, although it's only once a week. This what you do it once a week is more dearer to Allah, is much beloved by Allah, than something that you go with so excitement and after this you do it for a week or a month and after this you stop. Alhamdulillah, that the blessing of Allah that we've been, I think, holding with this class for the last two or three years, that we've been keeping with the Tuesday class for the with the longest that I can remember, at least a couple of years. I remember one day I was in I think I was in Washington or Detroit, and I conducted the class over the telephone. So I'm trying to let you know that the importance of keeping on with something regardless how much you're tired, because you're always going to be tired, you're always going to be busy, you're always going to have problems, you're always going to have other things comes in your life. So we have to train ourselves how to put Islam as a priority in our life, special about things that bring us closer to Allah. And one of the things that keep me insisting about classes and traveling, and appreciate what some people sometimes say, take it easy or be nice to yourself. Or you see, a lot of deviation in this country, a lot of corruption, is a lot of misinformation. And believe it or not, it's not too much people that who got the correct knowledge. And it's not too much people among those who have the correct knowledge that they have the time and the energy to do it. Therefore, although I feel sometimes it's too much for myself, but I try to remember and see examples of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And today when I get a phone call and say you need to rest and all these things, that Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, telling us about how the Sahaba used to be so concerned about coming to the Salah. In Jama'ah. And he said, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ يُهَادَى بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِّ وَلَقَدْ كَانَ يُهَادَى بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِّ. That Ibn Mas'ud says that one of them used to be sick and ill, and to such a degree that he could not walk to the masjid in his own. So two of the Muslims, they used to help him, assist him. That mean like you put your hands or your arms on somebody's shoulder this way and somebody's shoulder this way to try to assist you to go to the masjid. This was the practice of the Sahaba. That, and the Salah is 5 times a day. If you do not, you understand, make the Jama'ah and Dhuhr, you can make it in Asr. Could not make it for Asr, you can make it for Maghrib, like this, Alhamdulillah. 5 times a day Jama'ah established in the masjid. But their concern was so great that they don't let one prayer, that although that the person who's sick is permissible for him to pray in the house, but they're so concerned about the reward. They're so concerned about the reward of the Jama'ah. And nowadays it's so sad that sometimes you find a place like, as example, in Colombia, South Carolina, which I always feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this community and this masjid. He found all these things that we have, Brother Hassan being among ourselves, and inshallah myself and Brother Mustafa Zahran and other people who can teach us, Brother Abdul Majid can teach you Arabic, Brother Mustafa teach us Quran, Brother Hassan teach us about Islamic classes and all these things. And we have this big library, and we have all these audio tapes and video tapes. And with all these blessings, you understand, it's always remind me about that the people that their father owned a farm with a lot of trees, apple trees. In this case, they have no appetite or any concern for these apples. You understand, the apples goes drop under the trees, and you find these kids walking on top of apples. But to us, as example, poor people or middle class people, whatever you call, you used to see the apples only sitting on in like behind a glass, okay, in the fruit store, because this for only like high class people can buy these things. So exactly, I sometimes feel sad. I look to the community here that was all these blessings that we got, and sometimes it's, yeah, it's not a big thing, you understand, it's only one class, I can listen to the tape later on, or maybe the brother will give another class similar to this, or we attend many classes. So I'm trying to, although that I'm not, you understand, in the best condition to give a class, but I'm trying to have a life example. Because life example is something very important. And why I'm doing this and saying this, because I want you also to do the same. Okay? You don't teach people always by your words. You teach people also by your action. And the need of life example in our community and all the Muslims community is something very important. And alhamdulillah, I feel very strongly that the raising of my children, especially the girls, and I'm very proud to say this, and I don't try to exaggerate, but I feel that a lot of development and the discipline of my children, especially the girls, it came as a result of the surrounding of the community life example. And seeing other sisters, okay, in their discipline, in their dress, in their concern about the classes. So it was not the matter of how much contribution I gave to my children, but my investment was in the community, alhamdulillah, which I saw the fruits, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best example. So the life example was very important for the Sahaba. And this is the way how they learn this Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to send the Quran, to drop a book on the companions without a messenger. Okay, the Quran came in Arabic and they understand Arabic. They don't need tafsir. They don't have to have any dictionary because this is their language. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the book and he commissioned a prophet to leave the book so the people can see and act. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a life example for them. And alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me to see a lot of people in my life to be example for me, okay? Because although that we try struggling to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but still the distance between us and him is a distance, and all what we know about the Prophet, what we read in the book. But you want to see somebody, okay? When, as example, if you're talking about growing a beard, and you found in the books it talks about growing the beard, but you never see a sheikh with a beard, how are you going to be thinking about growing your beard, as example, okay? So what I'm saying, I'm trying, what maybe some of you feel that I'm extending myself too much, but this is something to tell you that because you have to put some priority in your life regardless, and sometimes that you know that this is the time for the class, so everything of this dishes that's sitting in the sink for 2 days, so let it stay for another night. Now the shaitan will come to tell you, understand, this dish has been in the sink for 2 days or 2 nights, and now this is the only time that you feel that you can knock this dish down and get it out of the way. You see? The car been sitting in front of your house for the whole week. The only time that you feel now that you have this energy to change the flat tire is the time for the class. You have the flu and you still went to your work, but when is the coming for the class? Because there's not any pay there, you see. So we need to create from our own self, special for our children, because these kids here in Columbia, South Carolina, special those who come to the Islamic school. I don't feel that a lack of knowledge, because I think some of these kids, they have enough education, maybe some more than some of you who are sitting here tonight, because some of them been for the last 3 years continuously in the Islamic school. They've been studying and understanding Islam and Quran and Tafsir for the last 3 years. So can you imagine if these kids are taking everyday Islamic class about history or hadith or tafsir or seerah, why we don't see the impact and the reflection on their behavior? So it's not the matter of knowledge, okay? Now the computer have more knowledge than me and you. It's a matter of pressing the button and will give you everything in the screen. Okay, in the floppy disk he has the whole Bukhari. None of us have the whole Bukhari in his mind. So it's not a matter of accumulation of knowledge. Okay, we need to see a life example, that we set example for ourselves, for our family, for our neighbors, for our kids. And this is very important. And each one of us make example from himself, not only because his kids, because you've been watched by other kids. Okay, and failure of some Muslims of putting example for the new generation, this knowledge that we've been giving to them every day, almost every day, is not helping too much. And I'm sorry to say this, okay, it's not your fault or my fault, okay, but the fault, because merely some of us saw examples, life example in his life. Okay, we heard, you understand, on tapes, watch videos about, you see, but you didn't live with these scholars. You don't see these people living with you, that you can see how they humble themselves, how they can be kind, how they can be patient, how they can be forgiven, and all the things which is the Islam itself. So when you read it in books, but you don't see it in your community, you see. So my presence today, again, I'm trying, although that we don't have a big group, but it's not by numbers, okay? But I still try to tell the brothers, regardless wherever, you understand, I was 800 miles away, and I feel the necessity of the class to continue on Tuesday. Alhamdulillah, we made a hookup, and we spoke over the telephone, and we had the class. And even I came today because I didn't even think I'd be able to bring my voice out. I brought the VCR with me in case I could not speak. I'm going to put you a videotape. So what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, please never call in the house, okay, to see how the imam feel, if he's going to come to the class or no, okay? Because believe it or not, those who maybe were thinking about doing something else, your calls had encouraged me more to come, and alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you, okay? And I know your intention is good, but maybe somebody would have something else to try to do it. What I'm trying to tell you, regardless if I'm here or not here, that you should have this part of your weekly schedule, that you have to attend it, regardless if I'm here or not here. I said before that some of us can come and sit here and try have like a quiz, okay, to the Muslims about what you study before, okay? We have, alhamdulillah, many VCRs here, and we have videos, we have about all this serious study by Abdullah Hakim Quick. And I told you before, and we watched one video before. So the information is available. And if nobody available, you can sit you and your brother, this sister, with this sister, go over some notice in your class. Okay? And they try not to let this, you understand, go to another. Because believe it or not, the moment that you try to schedule something in Tuesday after Aisha or between Maghrib and Aisha, you make it once, twice, this it. It's going to be, you're going to slow down, and it will be much easier for you that you drop it. And inshallah, is my intention to keep with the class as much as I can, okay? So basically, this is what I came to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that you should continue with the class, regardless. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your effort. And sometimes you understand, Allah bless your walk into the masjid, and you may go home and you feel better than before. Because it's not the physical thing that you always should be concerned about, but your uplifting or the spiritual feeling is very important also. And one of the good examples that also I was laying down in the bed and thinking about it a lot, which encouraged me to be here tonight, this story that Brother Ghassan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a safe trip back inshallah and help him to accomplish his mission. He was so excited and so concerned about meeting Sheikh Al-Albani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his life inshallah. And when he went to Jordan, and he was so concerned to meet Sheikh Al-Albani, and he went and talked to one of his closer students, okay, somebody who really knows the Sheikh very good and very very close person, one of his students. But the Sheikh refused. And Brother Ghassan feel very bad about it. But when I asked Ghassan about it, he told me that the man, he closed completely all visitation because he was trying to finish some of these books that he's writing, because he say death, it can be approaching any second, and he's so concerned about this man is 80 years old, 80 some years old, dedicate his life for serving the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So can you imagine a man who served all this life, and he's so concerned about somebody coming visiting him, the time that we're going to sit and have a cup of tea, he wants to dedicate this time towards the Islamic knowledge, that towards the books that he tried to finish before he died. This was so amazing, and really I kept thinking about it since Brother Hussein told me about it. A man 80 some years old serve Islam for mashallah, and how many books for Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani in the market today, and the man is still so concerned about minutes will be waste in having something with somebody, and he wanted to dedicate these minutes towards having something that the Muslims in general can benefit from it. So all these things, my brothers and sisters, what we have in Colombia is a lot of apples, or what you call a lot of gold. But the person that his father have a shove of gold, he doesn't care. The wife of the man who's selling gold, and she be working and sitting selling gold day and night, she maybe have a ring of silver or have something made out of plastic. She got sick, you understand, of seeing gold, making gold, playing with gold. Gold mean nothing to them. And I very really feel bad for sometimes these people in Colombia, that like these people who have this apple farm, they walking on apples, they don't care. And believe it or not, when you go to New York, when you go to Jersey, when you go to Chicago, when you go to some places, that they dying for a class, for dying. I know that people been searching for imams for 5 and 6 years. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, I never get to know about communities that have more than one hafiz of the Quran, and more than one sheikh, and more than this, and a masjid, and a school, and a library, and the only community I know about it. But when you come to see how many people benefit from this, you know it, okay? So my brothers and sisters, you have Abdul Majid here who teaching Arabic, alhamdulillah. You have Brother Ghassan, were doing very good work about even advanced Islamic study, and you have the humble slave of Allah myself that I'm trying to teach the little bit I know, a brother Mustafa Zahran, and we have the weekend Islamic school, we have all the things, and we have the sisters and the brothers who've been studying under Ghassan, under me for the long time. We have to make a good out of this opportunity, and we have to study so we can learn, so we can practice, so we can teach later on, okay? If you are not going to learn, you could not teach. If you could not learn, you are not going to be able to practice how you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, and how you're going to give da'wah later on without knowledge. So this step one is to learn. Okay, step one to be a student. Okay. This is have to be, and we shouldn't neglect any opportunities that we can find ourselves be able to grasp something of this knowledge and let it go. Especially classes happening at Masjid al-Muslimin Islamic Center of Columbia, South Carolina. Because inshallah, to the best of our ability and our knowledge, that we don't teach anything here except pure Islam, authentic hadith, the teaching of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the best of our knowledge. We don't teach culture here. We are not about cultures. We are not about habits. We are not about what they do in your country and my country. We are not here about blackism. We are not about Arabism. We are not about anything except Islam and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I tried my best. I took some Theraflu, I took Advil, and time my head good. And Brother Mustafa, I asked him to squeeze my shoulders a little bit, and I hang the microphone closer to me, and I did the best I can. So to tell you that you need to be here, okay, and that I need to be here. And all of us need always to take opportunity, and I hope inshallah I don't have to repeat this again. And finally, I thank all of you for coming, and thank all the brothers and sisters who call to see if I'm coming for the class or not. Inshallah, no, it's no break. I may try to make it longer for you tonight if I can. Somebody can get me this reddish book in the top. If I'm not mistaken, inshallah we go back to our original class, which is explanation and sharh the book of Bulugh al-Maram. And I think we finish until hadith number, anybody remember, number 10 or number 11, one of both? Excuse me, we finished number 10, 13. Is it 13? Maybe attended advanced class, not by me. I didn't go, maybe mixing between what Ghassan is teaching, what I teach. Okay, do you mind to tell us some of your notes about hadith number 11? Okay, the sister is right. The problem that Bulugh al-Maram, which I have here, the Arabic one, this is supposed to be number 8, and my, what I think that maybe if there is a hadith which is repeated, that he canceled it. I don't know what the story, I have to investigate this. But this was number 8 according to the Arabic. I don't know. Don't forget, I'm a little bit, my temperature start to go up a little bit, so I'm sweating now. But I'm going to try to see what I can do for tonight, inshallah. Anyway, we have at least two hadith before the new chapter. Okay? So, I mentioned about the hadith, about the dog already. Is it? And we spoke about the hadith concerning the hira. Okay? And the man that urinated in the mosque. Okay. So, number 11, inshallah, which the hadith عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحلت لنا ميتتان ودمان فأما الميتتان فالجراد والحوت وأما الدمان فالطحال والكبد أخرجه أحمد وابن ماجه وفيه ضعف. The hadith which is reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, two types of dead animals are and two types of blood have been made lawful for us. The two types of dead animals are locusts and fish, seafood, while the two types of blood are the liver and the spleen, reported by Ahmad and Ibn Majah, and this hadith has some weakness, but still the hadith is sahih, and inshallah we going to talk about it. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, which Abdullah, son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, which is Umar, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying uhillat mean making halal, that something is forbidden and now it's been made lawful. Okay, because we know that the verse came to indicate about things which forbidden for us, and from these things which is forbidden for us, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ, okay, that been made lawful for you, dead animals and blood to the end of the, so this came as exception, and this is the reason say أُحِلَّتْ, that mean was forbidden, or the general ruling that all dead things and all blood is forbidden or are forbidden. So now saying uhillat because this is exception from the general ruling. Okay. Al-jarad wal-hoot, that mean if you catch these two things, the locust and the fish, regardless if you have them dead or alive, is lawful for you, regardless the dead through jumping in the fire, or that you shoot them, or they fell on the ground dead, when you catch them they are dead. Same thing applies to the fish. Okay, sometimes maybe the waves itself will throw the fish outside and the fish could not get back to the water and he die as a result of being out of the water, or that you throw your net and you get it out and by this time it's dead. Okay, so regardless if you catch it alive or you catch it dead, or that it dead in its own, okay, or became dead as a result of hitting something, a sheep or whatever, still although it's dead, but it's lawful to eat it, although the general ruling not to eat dead things. Talking about the reason of saying there is some weakness in it, that because from the narration of Abdurrahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam from his father, from son of Umar, and Ahmad says that Abdurrahman ibn Zayd hadithuhu munkar. Okay, and this is the reason they say that there is a da'af concerning one of the narrator, okay, that his hadith or whatever he gives is falsehood. But the hadith been checked out and the hadith been marked that to be authentic. The hadith that came from other narration, from Ibn Umar, فقد أخرجه البيهقي من طريق ابن وهب سليمان ابن بلال عن زيد ابن أسلم عن عبد الله ابن عمر أنه قال and he said هذا إسناد صحيح وهو في معنى المسند ورفعه أولاد زيد عن أبيهم وصحح الدار قطني الموقوف في العلل. So that mean anyway that other scholars they came and they follow up the hadith and they found it from other narration that to be صحيح. الحوت is the single and the plural is حيتان. And this will be related to the fish. Regardless if it's small or big, you will call it hoot. And also will be related to all this type of fish that lives in the water. Regardless whatever how big is the size it is. Okay? And after this he went about explaining and giving definition of al-kabid and al-tuhal. And I don't think we need to go for these medical terms because I'm sure that each one of you know what is liver and been eating liver all your life, although some of you don't even like it, but you know what is liver, okay, and spleen. And from this hadith we understand that gushing blood, what we call الدم المسفوح, as example when you slaughter a cow and this blood that come gushing out of the neck or out of the veins, this gushing blood you could not take this blood and accumulate it and cook it and eat it, okay, this called دم مسفوح. Okay, so we understand that all types of blood is forbidden because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said uhillat lana, that mean made lawful for us, two types of blood, that mean there is only two types of blood which is halal. All other blood in whatever form, whatever shape, okay, whatever way cook it, is still forbidden and haram. And the only two blood that is permissible to be eaten from lawful animals, okay, we are not talking as example about elephant or pigs or swine, things like this. We're talking about cow or buffalo or goats, lamb, lawful animals. Originally that is lawful animals, okay, because the blood and the spleen is nothing except blood, okay, but is not this gushing blood that you see it. Also from this hadith we understand that all types of animals that dead or been dead before the person slaughtered is haram, except these two exceptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also we understand that the locusts, with this kind of flying thing, anybody doesn't know what's locust?
Grasshopper.
Okay, that is lawful. Now regardless you like it or you don't like it, this doesn't change the fact that Islam made this halal. Okay, maybe the size that you see it here is small, but there is a big size that really has meat in it. Okay, yeah. And basically most of this grasshopper, they die through hitting against its wall or going running through a fire, like when people candle fire, they love this fire and go through it, okay. So regardless whatever means they became dead, doesn't matter the means, okay. If you hunt it yourself or you put a net for it or it hit a wall or run through the fire, except if somebody sprayed chemicals, okay, now will be forbidden for you to eat it, not because itself, but because it will lead to poisoning you. Okay, so this is the only exception that have been, because you know grasshoppers, they go and damage corns and fields and vegetables, fruits, things like this. So people will spray chemicals to kill them. So this kind of grasshoppers, when killed by chemicals, they are not supposed to eat it. Or as example, if they go and throw things in a certain area in the ocean, okay, try to clean the water or whatever, and the fish eat these things. Now we don't eat it, not because the fish is dead or the grasshopper is dead, but because what they ate, it can cause us poisoning and it can kill you. Okay, this is the reason you are not supposed to eat these things. So the person doesn't have to have intention to kill these things. He can catch it and can eat it as is, even if it's dead, it's still lawful for us. But anyway, we remember the first hadith that we talk about concerning this book, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam been questioned about the sea, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the man what? Huwa tahuru ma'u al-hillu maytatu, that the water of the sea is purifying and the dead of it is what? Lawful. So even if somebody said that there is weakness in the hadith, still we understand from other hadith that dead animals, which he thinks that born, raised, live in the water, doesn't matter now what is the shape, what is the size, is lawful. Some people don't ask me about shrimp and ask me about this other stuff, look like a snake and look like a dog and all this, doesn't matter. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he want to forbid something for you, he will forbid it for you. So don't ask too much. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said al-hillu maytatu, okay, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not guessing. Allah gave him the information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the sea. Okay, and you remember this incident that we mentioned about this big hoot or big animal that whale, that the Sahaba, they one of them used to ride the camel and go under its bone, you know, that the bone of his chest, okay, or what you call the rib is so big that a man can ride over his camel and can go under it, okay. And the Sahaba ate from it, I think, for about 6 months, and they did not finish it, and they took some with it back to Medina when they went, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked them if they still have little bit with them, and they gave him. So some people, because the size, but things which born, live all the life under the water, these things part of the living things, and is halal for us, inshallah. The next hadith hadith number 12 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وقع الذباب في شراب أحدكم فليغمسه